Good afternoon, dear listeners. I'm Seva Garutunyan here on behalf of the Toronto High newspaper. I'm thrilled to be joined with Toronto's very own Canadian-Armenian multi-instrumentalist composer, Levon Ishkhania. Levon's no stranger to our newspaper or our listeners. He's a third-generation musician of the Ishkhanian family. Over the past 40 years, Levon's scope of knowledge has spanned over all areas of music, performing, composing, recording, touring, and producing in several genres, including jazz, world, and traditional music. He is a recipient of the Governor General of Canada's Acknowledgement for Musical Excellence. Levon has been recognized as a musical ambassador to Canada and a longtime caring friend of the Toronto Armenian community. Levon, how are you?
I'm great, Sebak. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us in your creative workspace and allowing us to spend this precious time with you. As a musician, I'm thrilled to dig in your world and see where your compass will take us. So you've been actively writing scores and working on theater music productions. Your recent work titled Birds of a Kind on stage at the Stratford Festival this fall. Tell our listeners a little bit about how the project came about and your involvement with it.
Great. Hello, everyone. And, you know, every project starts with an idea, then the idea develops into a conversation, and next thing you know, the conversation develops into getting together and working out logistics and details, how to move things forward. As of 3 years ago, I've been a student. I went back to school. I'm at York. I'm doing my PhD in ethnomusicology. And ethnomusicology, basically, it's why and how people make music. It's the study of people's music-making methods and the influence of the music and cultures. And so it got me into really digging deeper into not only the music of our culture, which is, as you know, very rich, very old, and very inspiring, but also music of other cultures where I grew up in, like Arabic music, because I was born and raised in Lebanon. So naturally, you want to study a culture's music. Of course, it starts by listening, by you know, researching it. But for me, as a person, if something doesn't have a practical application, it doesn't survive and it doesn't really resonate with me. So because of that, you know, it also got me into really digging deeper into the instruments that come from these cultures, mainly being the oud. And in this case, the instrument's called multi-oud because it's made in Canada, designed by myself and a few other musicians globally. And so this conversation started with the music director at Stratford, and he said, we gotta have you come and compose something for us. And I said, yeah, sure. He said, we'll be talking. So then I get the call. We have this project. Would it interest you? So, you know, Sebak, for me, the biggest challenge in my life is scheduling, because I cannot be in two places at the same time. So I asked for the production schedule. I realized I can make it work. But for me, to compose music, to be involved musically, it has to touch my heart and soul. I asked for the script. They sent me the script. I could not put it down. And next thing I know, I'm composing music for it. So initially what happens, there's 1 month of rehearsals of cast, and then in a rehearsal hall, and then the cast moves into the theater where the performance is going to be staged. And that's where the music part comes in. The creative team joins the cast, creative team being composer, sound designer, a projection artist, and lighting designer.
You join in to listen in and get an idea and paint the perspective for yourself?
That's exactly it. Because up to that point, you're just working from the words on the script and dialogue between you and the director. But now you're seeing it in action. You're seeing it turn into this, you know, physical performance. Your imagination starts being a little bit more concrete, materialized, if you will. So there's about 3 to 4 weeks of that, and then we did a few previews. And during the previews, of course, there will be some changes too. And then they freeze the show. I think that happened on the fourth preview. And then opening, and then it's going to play till October the 13th. And Stratford Festival is a repertory festival, which means at any given moment, there's more than one show going on.
Yes.
So.
Now, this is not your first musical theater production that you're working on, correct?
Yes, correct. So when it comes to musical theater, I've played many roles. I've played music coordinator role. I played music contractor role, which takes care of the orchestra, hires the musicians, mm-hmm. and takes care of logistics. I played music librarian, which takes care of all the physical, musical needs, like sheet music and such. And I've also been a musician in an orchestra and a pit. So when it comes to composition, I've composed for movies, television, and now I can add plays to my resume.
So on that note, how does it feel going from live performances with a more spontaneous approach, which you're well known for, improvisations on stage, to a more controlled environment and a little more, I guess, commercial recordings, if you can call it that? Or are there no strict guidelines?
I don't know about the strict guidelines, but I think there are definitely guidelines, and we impose those guidelines onto ourselves. For me, the best way to work, the most sort of positive way of working, is through collaboration. That I love collaborating because, you know, two people put their heads together, come up with an idea, work on it, nurture it, and then something else comes out of that. So in the case of the play at Stratford, Anthony Cimolino, the artistic director, was also the director of the play, was very open to ideas and thoughts, and he was very willing to listen to what I had to say and what I was thinking of offering. And that's why I ended up playing 14 different string instruments.
That's what I was going to ask when you mentioned the oud.
Yeah.
Is it only oud? Is it guitar? Is it layers of different string
It's 14 different string instruments, oud primarily being sort of at the forefront of the instruments. But you're also going to hear some guitar, some sounds that were generated by guitars, but they're not that obvious. Because I really wanted to make it all about, you know, my heartstrings. You've heard that phrase. So everything, I wanted to actually trigger it through strings, whether it was on a guitar, oud, banjo-tar, bouzouki, whatever have you.
Okay, so how has music evolved for you as an artist in the past decade? A lot has changed in the music industry and the way we consume music. So which platforms do you use to listen to music and in turn to reach to your audience and followers and music lovers? Do you connect and interact using social platforms, or do you stick with the more conventional methods, if that even may still exist?
You know, for me, I must admit, I haven't been a big social media kind of person. And, you know, I have my reasons for it. But I would say the main reason is, again, the lack of available time to be able to mm-hmm. do all these things. And, you know, I'm a bit of I don't want to say hermit, but I can work very well in isolation. And I always believe in the notion that, you know, if somebody's interested or they want to know something, you'll be found, you know. And so conventional methods for sure. But as you know, you came here a couple of hours ago and we're just starting the interview now. I love talking and I love sharing and I love listening because it's really all about telling stories for me.
Absolutely. There's a personal approach and sort of personal handprint that we leave.
Yes.
And music has a lot to do with, it's a very personal thing for everyone, I feel.
Yeah.
But Do you think that that has is maybe fading away, or in the last decade, given the different methods of consuming music?
Absolutely.
Is that in any way changing the game? Whether, you know, many years ago, you would put an LP, sit down and really give it 100% of your attention. Now, is that really the case? Or are we listening to everything in smaller snippets?
Okay. It's definitely morphed. But because I'm at the age of 55, so I'm still carrying sort of the older ways of doing things, like listening to music. I still listen to CDs in my car. I still listen to, you know, CDs on the stereo system and on and on. And, you know, that old sort of old... But the older way of consuming music, listening to music, where you'd open up the CD jackets because you were interested to see who played, where was it recorded, when was it recorded, what are the song descriptions?
Yes.
That's changed, which for me, it's kind of hard to understand or relate to because, again, I'm always telling a story or listening to a story. So I think that part of it is missing, where it's become sort of... The middle is gone. It's become more of a functional listening. I want to listen to a song because it makes me feel this way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the song becomes, as opposed to the artist that produced the song, where somebody can go and research this artist, see what else they've done. You know, we followed artists when I was growing up. Now they're following... The term artist, the definition has changed. Is an artist someone that sells millions of albums or an artist that produces great art? I remember when I came back from Armenia, one of my dear musician friends asked me, said, what's the big difference between a musician in Armenia and North America? I said, very simple. I said, what is it? There's no hype in Armenia. If you say I'm a musician, you have to be able to play.
Yeah.
Nobody cares what degree you have, how many albums you've sold. You said you play clarinet, let's hear you play. I was there almost a month, and I came back so inspired because the level of musicianship, you know, I used to say it's high, very high. I'd like to actually say, not that it's only high, there's one word actually, it's real. Mm-hmm. That's what music and musicians should be.
So, on that note, real music, do you... see that the younger audience today is having less engagement with expressive melodic music and just simply preferring something, maybe we can call it noise, maybe, I mean, do you feel that in the last 40 years of your craftsmanship in the music, has the audience evolved?
Yes, the audience has evolved. Unfortunately, sometimes... you know, that balance between entertainment and artistry is lopsided, if you will. But we also have to, I think about if something, whether someone calls it entertainment or art, if it's entertainment and it makes someone feel good, I don't see an issue with that. It's what happens is when the perception of people of what is art and entertainment gets confusing. I'll give you an example. 30, 40 years ago, if you wanted to buy an album of sitar music, you'd go to a place downtown called Sam the Record Man.
Mm-hmm.
They had an import section. They'd have somebody that would help you. And there'd be a few albums. So I have those albums. Ravi Shankar.
Yeah.
So I remember how much I paid to have those albums. So... the challenge at that time was going to Sam the Record Man and coming up with that $30, you know, as a youngster to buy that album. Now the challenge is you go on YouTube, you can find anything you want. Now you have to figure out who is the Ravi Shankar. Because everybody, most people that put up something on these social, you know, platforms, in a way, are they thinking they're the next? Because they have their recordings out, just like Ravi Shankar. So we have to be a little bit more...
selective?
Selective and critical. You know, it's like... I think
There's also less of a personable approach because absolutely. In a music store, the employee is guaranteed to be someone who's a fan, knowledgeable, and can guide you.
Suggest, even make suggestions.
But in this open world,
you're on your own. So what decision you make becomes sort of the law. And if you don't have the musical background, what one genre of music that is fascinating to me is the whole, you know, Nouveau Flamenco movement. For me, Nouveau Flamenco is Paco de Lucía. He actually modernized flamenco.
Can music become outdated, you think? Is that such a thing? Do you think we can ever, with everything changing so quickly in this fast-paced world, do you think we will ever witness such a thing? We do live in a very trendy world, right? Whether it's the food we consume, it's the clothing we wear, it's the TV shows we watch, things are constantly changing at a lightning speed.
Yeah.
Do you think that this, in any way, within our time frame, people can be like, I'm uninterested in this genre, or can we see a genre kind of come to its demise?
That's a great question. I don't think a genre will ever come to its demise because I think there is something for everyone. I think it's based on your internal context. I'll give you an example. I'm Armenian, born in Lebanon. We talked about that earlier. So I like listening to Greek music because I heard it when I grew up. Mm-hmm. I like listening to Arabic. I like listening to Fayrouz, Farid al-Atrash. Why? Because I heard them growing up on radio stations, on TV programs and such. So my internal context is Mediterranean. But my kids are born here. When I play that music at home, they have this look like, what is this? So maybe that's part of the, could be the outdatedness of a genre, because my kids' kids, how are they going to relate to this? Look at the gap now, the spread, right? The generational gap.
Absolutely. There is a personal world approach to music, and if we can't relate to it, whether it's language, whether it's the melody, the instruments, then we do feel disattached to it.
Well, look at Arabic music. You know, a Western ear, the first time they hear Arabic music, they think it's out of tune.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, there are quarter tones.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a little bit of a different question.
Sure.
Musicians and artists are very well known to be daring and spontaneous. So do you have a bucket list?
You know, Sevak, I actually don't.
All right.
I've never had one.
And if you did, and if it would, can you imagine anything being musically related on this bucket list?
Uh-huh.
Like maybe a special edition of a guitar that you want to buy, or perform at a special concert hall, or meet a special artist, or something of that sort.
You know, that's a really, really hard question to answer. But if I could just snap my finger and I would be granted my wish, it would be, I'd love to have a Stradivarius guitar.
Okay. Given your deep love for your ancestors and family, do you listen to Armenian music currently? If so, how do you see the current state of music in the diaspora for Armenians? Has that evolved uh-huh. since your humble beginnings? And I mean, if it's a broad question, try to break it down
for
our listeners. Your involvement with Armenian music in the diaspora, do you listen to any Armenian music now?
Okay, so my involvement with Armenian music in the diaspora, it started at the age of 13. And it was Adis Harmandian was coming to Toronto to sing at a function. My dad was going to put the band together. I overheard my dad on the phone saying, yeah, this, I can get you everybody except the guitar player. There are no Armenian guitar players here. And after he hung up the phone, I went to my dad and I said, what about me? He said, what about you? Anyway, I practiced day and night. I already know all of Adis's songs. And I had to audition for my dad. I remember my dad saying to me, not a problem, you can do the job. But if at any moment, if Adis expresses any negative, you know, that maybe you're not up to par, you're going to have to not play. I said, yeah, sure. Now imagine to a 13-year-old how that would feel. In any case, I thought I was ready. I prepared. But then the moment came. And don't forget, I've known Adi since I was 6, 7 years old when my dad used to go to...
Back in Lebanon.
Bush Hamouda used to practice behind his record shop. I was the kid that went and bought everybody cigarettes, brought baklava and all this stuff. And my dream, talk about a bucket list, was one day to play on stage, not necessarily with Adi's. So you can imagine, now I'm going to play with Adi's. Anyway, the night was fine. I was nervous like you wouldn't believe. And at the end of the night, Adi's came to me and said, by the way, he was very gracious from the stage. And at the end of the night, he came to me and he said, so this is your first time doing a professional performance? I said, yes. And he said, wow, if your first is with Adi's, wow, I can only imagine who else might you play with. Paul Anka? And well, you know what? That happened.
Wow.
So, to this day, we keep in touch with Adi's. As you know, over the years, not only he's been a dear friend, I would say a very influential performer in my musical life. And so I've always kept in touch with him over the years. Even when I formed my own band and I wanted to play my own music, he was always there to guide, suggest. In fact, he wrote the liner notes in my first CD. He was the one that said, I want to write something in your CD. So that's that. And how has it evolved, or where is it evolving in the diaspora? Well, you know, one of the things... one of the issues in the diaspora is connection to your homeland. Now, don't forget, Sevak, a lot of people, I mean, I came to Canada, I was 12, relatively young. But can you imagine you coming to Canada at the age of 20 from a place like Beirut, where you had a life beyond a life, mm-hmm. right? Where you come to Canada, you can't really replicate that life, not because it's going to take time or you have to work at it. Geographically, it's not possible. Environmentally, it's not possible. The weather won't let you live like you live in
Absolutely.
Lebanon. Geographically, everywhere is far. You got to drive. The spontaneity is gone. So what happens? Before you know it, you slowly morph into this new identity of how to survive. And also, the top of your list is survival. You know, your parents are trying to make a living so that you can live somewhere.
The true struggle begins.
Yeah. So what happens? How does this affect this music? Well, so you put a bunch of Armenians in a room. Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Egypt. What Armenian music are you going to play now in order to cater to everybody's taste? Now, let's add a couple of more. Let's add Armenians from Iran, which... borders on Armenia, their musical taste versus a Lebanese. Think about what I'm saying. So what happened? The instrumentation changed. Keyboards became very prominent because keyboards can replicate a bouzouki sound and oud sound, on. And the singing styles also morphed. Because now, if you're used to listening to, give you an example, Paul Badadlian, Dalaras,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, Georges Wassouf. So the smart Armenian singer has to find a way to morph these three styles into one so that the listener will always be engaged. So it's the audience, it's the consumer sometimes that creates these genres. But as artists, what we have to do is to always make sure that what we're sharing with our audience, especially when it comes to our music, Armenian music, we have to give the purest form of pop, you know, music. But that can only happen with studying it and respecting the tradition.
But quite often, when instruments like oud, tar, saz, they're included or they're mentioned, there's always the constant debate of what is the actual root of their instrument. And at least in the diaspora, whether it's a musician or a singer, anyone in and around the industry will say that it's all shared. If you look at the world from the top, when you look down, you don't see borders. So yeah. For that reason, you know, instruments can be shared, which is a great thing. But you made a good point right now, studying it and finding the root. And when you have a better handle on the root of something, you have a better method of exploring it or diversifying it, but knowing where the root came from. So is that something that's possible, or do you feel that it's you know, world music or instruments can sort of be shared, or...
Okay, so it's absolutely possible, and yes, instruments can be shared. And the holistic way of looking at this, when you look at the world, you don't see borders and you don't see lines that separate. So you see it as one. Yes, true. But, you know, when it comes to music, I think the best example I can give is the duduk. Now, duduk, in that region where Armenia is, many of the neighbors have a version of the duduk. So how is our duduk special or any different? Well, it's actually very simple. Two things that make a duduk an Armenian duduk versus something that they play in Georgia, let's say. Yes. Construction. Our duduk can only be made out of apricot wood. That's the sound. And two, it's performance practice. How are you playing it? You know, I just got off the phone this morning with someone. We're talking about, you know, doing some clinics about the evolution of the guitar, the transformations of the guitar. A couple of things that I told him, he had no idea. Because when you think of the electric guitar, what do you think? Country, jazz, rock and roll, blues. You know, there's a list of what we know that can be played on electric guitar. But once you move outside of the West, the guitar has a completely different role. You know, you listen to music in Georgia, or even Armenia for that matter. I can play you recordings where the guitar is more prominent than a singer. And that guitar, they don't play anything but melody. They don't play any chords. So they're just singing. Just like a singer can't sing, you know. They can sing in harmony, but they can't sing harmony. So different instruments in different contexts. And don't forget, Selak, even in the days of Anatolia and the music played and composed, you know that most of the prominent composers at that time were Armenian. Tatyos Efendi, Armenian. His music is played all over the world. From that region.
The oud masters were also...
Not only the oud masters, performers, also the makers.
Yes.
Onik Kharibyan. The most sought after ouds in the world. Armenian. And, you know, I have a project called Armenian Guitars, which is basically telling the story of the guitar. And it's a series of seven guitars with Armenian themes and motifs, all inlaid and carved. And... it all was inspired by from a book where in it said the oud is not necessarily an Arabic instrument. It originated in the Christian Armenian communities in 100 AD. And the oud is the predecessor of the guitar. So you know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. It's so yes, at some point it's shared. But, you know, as you're doing your historical research and such... And don't forget, it's not just research for me, it's also a big passion. You start seeing and finding out things that you go, aha, I can connect this to that. And the only thing we have in terms of historical background and data on some of the stuff is the manuscripts and the icons, which is part of my trip. I'm leaving this week.
Trip.
Yeah, to go to Mkhitaryan Gezi.
So, Levon, what does the name Gomidas evoke in you?
I don't think you can be more Armenian than Gomidas. He evokes the model of Armenianness in every possible way on every level. I mean, the price that he paid for his discoveries was with his life. So we owe it to ourselves, not as people involved in the arts, but as an Armenian, as Armenians, to make sure that we always have him on high regards and all the respect that he deserves, but also share his findings. To me, that's above and beyond to share. And not only just share with Armenians, share it with the whole world. A lot of treasure there.
It's something that we can't just keep for ourselves, right?
No, we have to share because we have to celebrate our treasures. We have to...
So it's Gomidas's 150th anniversary of his birth.
Yeah.
And in November, you have a show dedicated to that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So that show is part of this project called Jazz Armenia, which I do once a year. And Jazz Armenia is basically the celebration, preservation, performance, and the sharing of Armenian music. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by Armenian music, it's not just the music of Armenian from Armenia. It's also Armenians that, the generally speaking, are not known as, like Michel Legrand from France. Of course, everybody knows Charles Aznavour. So also incorporating their repertoire. So November 7, 8, and 9, Jazz Bistro will be my band with special guests and their surprise guests performing the work of Gomidas and his contemporaries, and they're going to be reimagined in a jazz world setting.
Wow, it's definitely not to miss. If you could collaborate with any artist or musician of Armenian descent, who would that be and what type of project would you take on? Would it be like a special message that you have that you'd like to convey through music? Was it maybe a genre you've never dabbled into that you feel it could be something? Tell us a little bit about that.
I have to tell you, lately I've been collaborating a lot with classical musicians. And when I was in Armenia, a dear friend of mine, Hagopcha Aspanyan, who's a master flamenco guitarist, he's teaches at the Gomidas Conservatory. We're talking about doing some things together. So collaborations, and there is Armin Hüsnüns, who's mm-hmm. the director of the Armenian big jazz band. In fact, when I was at the conservatory, I did a clinic,
wow.
and he was there. And I asked people who would like to join me so we can do a jam session. He put up his hand and he said, I don't play guitar, but I'd like to join you. And I said, sure. He said, I play sax. Is that okay? I said, of course, it's okay. And, you know, we played, we hung out. It was amazing. So these kind of collaborations, because don't forget, as an Armenian born in the diaspora, you know, we always have this longing for the homeland, this imagined place.
Absolutely.
And imagine now you're there and you're performing with a musician from there. Doesn't get any more Armenian than that. I remember when I got my Armenian passport, it was a very emotional feeling for me. I remember when I left the building where they gave it to me, I stood outside in the parking lot and I phoned my dad. And I said, Dad, how are you? I said, now I'm Armenian. You know, because it felt that way. You know, it's like I've returned home.
Interesting. So you've been to Armenia. You spent quite some time there. The music that comes out of Armenia has a different breath of air, a different color,
yeah.
so to say. In the East Coast of United States, Armenians that have settled after the genocide, they brought over the language, the traditions, the recipes, and the traditional dances and melodies from the old country.
Mm-hmm.
Is music a way of preservation of culture? How has this helped you in making your music reach different levels? And, of course, you have Armenian undertones in your melodies. Tell us what you feel when you hear that style of Armenian music from the old country.
It feels very nostalgic because that's all my grandfather used to listen to. And I spent a lot of time with my grandfather when I was a kid. It also evokes sort of a sense of hope in me. And I hope to God that that music is always preserved. You know, we're talking about, let's say, traditional musics of the world. the one thing that needs to happen is for it also to survive, it has to have something current in it. So how yes. beautiful to take an old melody and reimagine it, if you will, so that the generation of today, they can relate to it. And they can say, what is this? It feels this way or that way. And then maybe they'll go a little bit deeper and see where it came from. Because I think if we don't know where we came from, we will never know where we're going. It's part of the journey, whether it's musical or whether it's a journey
so,
of life.
So you're open to experimenting?
Absolutely, within.
So yeah, where is that line? I mean, is there an artist that you feel like right now is doing a well job, like doing well at that? Because there are people who make attempts and there are people who just sometimes end up replicating what we've heard for many centuries or many decades.
Yeah.
And then there's people who do it and they put a totally different spin on it. Is there a fine line that kind of should be respected, or what message can you give to young musicians that are perhaps trying to keep that element from the old country, whether it's the melodies, whether it's the instruments, whether it's the lyrics, because there's also Darper Parpar Nerunik.
Sure.
Hayden image.
I'm sure.
Dikana Getsi Parpar Unik for Gernalal Utsunar Harur Aisurva Jorte Chihaskana.
Okay. So, in Mudazel Service Ador Masin, Nach Betke Harsnik Ove Madiganova, Yev Inchuat Musikot Madikanengur. There is something for everybody, and in Zamar. Ամենը կարևորը երկի մեջ մելոդին է։ Քեզ օրինակ մտամ։ Քանի անգամ եղած է, աս երկը գիտես։ Ասես, «Նո, երկե քեզ, ասանք է»։ «Օ՜, այդ երկը, օքե»։ Ինչ քեզ երկեն, որ մելոդի։ Nobody sings harmony, nobody sings rhythm. So, when it comes to imagining or reimagining, we have to be very, very respectful of the melody. Որը ադիգա երկին ընձի համար անունն է, that's the heart, սիրդն է երկին. What you do with the rest, put your own twist on it. But melody, it's been written by someone, they've, կնես իրենց արունը, կրդինքը, հոգը, սիրդը մեջը տրազեն. We have to be respectful of that. When it comes to lyrics, now, կնես պարերը, it's also geographical too, որով, Երբ մը որ ասենք, I don't know, բարդեզի մեջ քրված է։
Այո։
Խնջուկի մը համար։ That's the context. Գիտես, versus a song որ ժողովրդական է կամ հեղափոխական է կամ another sort of under another heading. So it's context based and absolutely betke tradition we have to keep it alive. So we have to maybe somehow replanted sometimes, but with respect and care for the melody.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's artists doing that.
Absolutely.
Allah Spurki Daratski Mech, Allah Hayastani Mech,
Khentanalik
Yerajishner Gandhi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They take that risk of experimenting and trying new things, Sadit Bes, keeping the melodies that are familiar to the listener, but taking it to a different level and bringing it back, and it seems like it is gravitating towards.
I'm hearing things that are actually very inspirational for me, very very inspirational.
Amazing. I guess in closing, what other special upcoming projects can your music lovers expect from you in the distant few months?
Okay, distant few months, a new recording.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Definitely. Is that a single or is that like an album?
It's going to be a full album. Shalom Sevak, I'm involved in so many projects. Im Ansagan project is...
Gehedatsikvi.
But it's also... I think Nershinchagan Bahanchki had Gapmonik. You do it when... You do it. It's one of those
when
things.
When the time is right.
When the time is right, when it feels right. You have, so need a recording. A kick karemgor on the style of Mediterranean guitar playing in that region.
Is that your first book?
It's my first book. thus far, I've only written articles about these topics. So it's going to be in a form of a book. And then the other projects that I have a production company, as we talked. We engage musicians for musical theater, Broadway tours and shows across Canada. And then I have my band. And then I guest with other musical projects. And I can, you know, I have a mantra in my life. For everything that I do, two things must happen. I have to contribute and I have to learn. If one happens, it's not enough for me.
Both have to happen.
And this is not a 50-50 thing, but that has to happen because I'm a very curious person. You know, I'm, like I said earlier, I'm 55. I'm an optician. I haven't practiced in many, many years because I want to devote my life to music. When I think of sometimes the genres of music that I've played, when I played Indian music, I played with the best, A.R. Rahman. Doesn't get bigger than that.
Yeah.
When I worked in North American music, I worked with Barbara Streisand, Elton John, the list goes on. They're all great. But for me, when it comes to my music, which is my culture's music, I'm very lucky because I played with people that have not only, like Addis, not only pioneered the estradine genre out of Lebanon, but also all the people that have come after him. You know, we can start, you know, Paul Badadlian, Harut Pam. I've played with all these guys, and not just in Toronto, all over the world. So I've seen and experienced our diaspora. I'll give you an example. Sao Paulo, I remember I went there with Paul. And it was 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night, and he looked at me and he said, "Uren lemonik mezi morsan, yep, it can mezi bidar men." And he said, "Lemonik again, she said, Uren negukan, herat sana, so, yes, bet kera sana, merek bet kera sana." He said, "Derde din she, yep, for kan gukan." So, kidesh jamakani, barante son, so, jamad asne mek irguna.
It's kisab.
That's the way it is over there. I remember Verchin Ankamnera bo Polymet Kenabakank, Montreal, Verchin Korzenis owner, Montreal, before I decided to do my own thing. Darzen Yergo Azarin Kairoke Azir. Gihechemona, Madaksara, Anshush, my band, we always played the first set, and that's for two reasons. One, to warm up the audience, Anshush, and then to see what the audience is reacting to, and that was my job. Yeah, for Polakar, me and Arachin Yerke Kidenk won't speak no like it. And Okar and Zigser, Inche Jawa. Yes, anyway, so other, so it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So I haven't done that kind of work for a while. I'm sure Kermesi Kasazem was, and it's amazing when you see so many Armenians under one roof celebrating, having a good time. But more so, celebrating and being beside each other, where it doesn't matter who they're in, make a money sign. So I think we need to do more of that. And most importantly for me, we have to engage the youth. To my event. To me, we have to pay a lot of attention to that and care to that. And we really have to champion that. Kides adamlar, parigamlar, I have a friend now. Ansar phone pass out. So they go, "Chem uzer kezi balların el pats." The last kid kitch me guitar gonna work it. They're not even covered pedal. Make a little hosina. Si harsu sat sevet gardes te kides. Tokeres me uzes. I'm not real. An shush per anytime. Me and Z say hi. Ye musiki korsik bitne bak. That's all I need to hear. Nothing else matters. Եվ ասիկա պետք է ավելի խորհուրդ մտածենք, որով գիտես, ինչ որ գսե ժամփորդությունները Երուսաղեմ քացի անցալարի, եւ ինչն է որ աս հայկական ասենք նյութերը եւ երկերը եւ բարերը մեր ժողովրդին մեջ հայ գցիկե որ երշապ մեր երշապները բարախումբները մեր եղեցիները, these were our outlets of music. Աս բարանտես, օքեյ, գամ խրակչան. This is not something old. Like, this is actually new. Yes, it all got started in Beirut, right? With the Addis phenomena. Adgi araç, tiket arnel, barantes yertal. Yes, nordakhın kınnel, asınel, yerkel sor, yerkelin parere sorvel, çigar. Right? They were very community-based. functional thing ժողովրդական երկեր կամ ասկայն երկեր
դարիներով սպյուրքի մեջ միայն միջոցի եղած են որ հայերը գրծած են մոդիկ կարիերաշտության
հլա
թբրած տասի եկեղեցին հլա համասկայն երջակումպեր եւ ադորմե է սկսած է եւ շատ այսինքն չէ ձլած զախկած սպյուրքի դարածքի մեջ որովհետեւ պայմանները միայն այդ եղած են բայց նաեւ ադոր գողքին ադի ծերում ներթաշնակ բահած է ժողովրդին միացուցած է եւ միան ադորգը բանդինգ
որ այո
ասենք երաժշտանոց փախտավորենք որ Սուրյո կամ Լիբանանի տարածքին երաժշտանոցներ ունեցած են բայց հիմա ոս Թորոնտո կամ Ամերիկայի տարածքին չեմ գիտե ինչքանով դոնք թերգը շարունակվին իմ հույսս է կամ ցանկությունս անե որ անհատները ասենք individually երաժիշներ կոնե ունենանք երդասարտները սպաղին երաշխնով որտեվ քաղապարային դեսիլք կդա դիտա
անշուշտ անշուշտ
I think it's a different language of connection to imasit Հայաստան երբ որ երթաս գնալալ քիչ մտժվարություն ունես հասկանալու երբ որ խոսիս չէ բայց երաշխնը you pick up your instrument you have, right away you have that connection
it's one of the languages of the universe եւ ոս ուրիշ բան մը գա մի մորնար սեվակ որ North America image, the Armenian musician is not the classic definition. You can't define them as the classic musician. Here, the Armenian musician, we can't name a musician. So that's from a musician that does music for a living 7 days a week. Սա երբ փորձ լինեն է երբ կրնա փամը սորվել երբ կրնա so what has to happen ինչ վես որ մեկն են չէ երկերը գսորվես եւ արիքներով ապ երկերը what's the latest greatest song oh all this nor kasat mi chesus okay at երկերը գսոր միան at երկերը գսոր բայց իբր կորզիկ սորվել it became secondary եւ ես բզդիգու that was my sort of not goal but mandate for I want to play guitar and I want to play guitar properly. Adwana mar my im hedaka kutuna sef for music genre na romesh na is shut line more of to me it's all music. But being Armenian obviously hayagan yerk par melody and harmony and rhythm in silis ammene modene.
Thank you Levon. Hachogutyun gmaqtenk Torontsahayi antsnagrazmi gogume. Քալիք աշխատանքներուդ համերգներուն եւ ներկայացումներուն thanks for the unique opportunity I'm certain the Toronto followers have immensely enjoyed this friendly conversation
thank you
and we wish you the best of luck in all your upcoming projects
thank you so much thank you
catch up once again
thank you to the most amazing Armenian community in Toronto always been supportive of all my endeavors I can't do anything without an audience so you even you know being here you know devoting your time to the cause it means a lot to me so thank you for that
all the best
merci